1. The paradox. I started thinking about the biological roots of peacefulness several decades ago, in a remote part of the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Later, the Congo would suffer badly, but in 1980, when Elizabeth Ross and I began a 9-month honeymoon in the Ituri forest, all was quiet. We were there as part of a 2-couple team. Our job was to document the lives of 2 societies living alongside each other, laissez-farmers and FA-foragers. Small villages of laissez-farmers dotted the vast Ituri plain, some as far as 2 days' walk from their neighbors. FA-pygmies occupied the same area. When the FA could find roots and fruits, they camped deep in the forest. In leaner times, they settled on the edge of a familiar village. FA women then worked in the Lesse gardens in exchange for cassava, bananas, or rice. We lived in leaf-roofed, mud-walled huts in our own little clearing near a Lesse village. We could not speak their first language, Kilesse, but we knew enough Kingwana, a version of Swahili, to have cheerful conversations with them. The Ituri people knew little of the outside world. Their economy was based largely on barter. Such things as nuclear bombs, soda cans, and electricity were outside their experience. The living quarters of both the FA foragers and the Lesse farmers were small and dark and were hardly used at all by day. So life between dawn and dusk was public, which meant that throughout the daylight hours we could record behavior openly. We watched and listened and followed. We shared their food and joined in their activities. As a behavioral biologist who had studied chimpanzees and seen their intemperate aggression to one another, I was alert to the possibility of important events such as the sight of clenched fists or the drawing of bows. Having grown up in the sleepy British countryside where even a raised voice, let alone public fighting, was a rarity, I had wondered if aggression would be more obvious in this distant Congolese settlement. It was wonderful to be able to see so much social interaction, but on the aggression score, there was little of interest. Even when dozens of people competed for meat around the carcass of an elephant, there was nothing more than occasional raised voices. Once I met 3 men in fighting gear, loincloths furled around their hips, en route to the chief's village. They had heard that their teenage sisters had been taken to a feast by the chief's kin, and the 3 men were intent on preventing their sisters from being debauched. They proved able to rescue the girls without violence. We heard of an FA man who hit his wife with a flaming log. Doubtless a few other incidents were hidden behind whispers and mud walls, but the only injuries we saw were the results of accident and disease. Our Ituri companions had some of the toughest lives on earth. Living off what they grew, hunted, or found in an unproductive forest, they faced routine food shortages, poverty, discomfort, and desperate illnesses virtually unaided by modern medicine. Their cultural practices often seemed to make life harder. They beautified girls by crudely chipping their teeth. They remembered their own grandparents as cannibals. Pictures on the side of cans of meat showed smiling people, so the Lesse teased us with the idea that Europeans who ate canned food were cannibals too. Funerals brought arguments over the value of the dead. Had a woman produced enough children to be worth her bride price of 7 chickens? Even the most understandable misfortunes were attributed to witchcraft, a daily source of irrational threat. In many ways, the Ituri was a place where anything might happen. Beyond the practical hardships and weird superstitions, however, the Lesse and Efe were entirely familiar in their basic psychology. Illogical beliefs, poverty, and strange medical practices took different forms in rural England and the Congo, but they were present in both. At heart, the Ituri people were hauntingly like the villagers in my native England, loving their children, quarreling over their lovers, worrying about gossip, looking for allies, jockeying for power, trading information, fearing strangers, planning parties, embracing ritual, ranting at fate, and very, very rarely getting into fights. Obviously, humans can be more or less violent depending on social context. The Congo had a central government, and although the Ituri peoples were in many ways independent of it, they were